Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Breaking news, Spike O'Neill deeply upset about the fact that the new podcast thumbnail, the old one or the new one you were upset with?
I didn't like the old one.
Why didn't you like the old one?
I look like I'm hungover. I mean, if they can make Joe Biden look like he's 27 again, they can make him look sober on a Monday morning, can't they?
Trump suggests Biden was higher than a kite on cocaine during the State of the Union.
Related story.
Related story. President Biden went to the Baltimore Bridge to survey the collapsed site. The White House is pushing for an extension of internet program aiding many Washingtonians. I kind of want to talk about this right off the bat, because there's this program, it's a federally subsidized program, where if you are within a certain amount of the income range, mm-hmm. you can get a voucher for 30 to 75% off of your internet access.
It's the ACP, Affordable Connectivity Program.
Right. It's a great program.
Yep.
And I think that one of the reasons why it is such a great program is that it actually allows people to have, you know, the thing that connects them to the rest of the world, which is now the internet, which is basically as important as water, as far as I'm concerned.
I like how you're taking this.
So yeah. When people do this thing and they go around, they say government bad, government doesn't do anything. How many people in Washington State benefit from the ACP? Low income people.
I mean, as a percentage of the state?
It's 1 in 8.
Oh, wow.
That's a
big number.
Right. So, like, there are ways that we do have, there are programs which subsidize our lives, which benefit our lives tremendously. And some people might be saying, well, this is a weird way to take taxpayer dollars and then funnel them back into ISPs or whatever it might be. Sure, that's one way to look at it. That is a valid criticism. At the same time, if that's a mom who's got three kids, whose husband is working two jobs and they're still below a certain income level,
mm-hmm.
I am fine with them having that extra $75 to buy groceries or school supplies or whatever it might be. And as a taxpayer, I'm happy to have that be subsidized. I don't necessarily care how they get it. When did we become so I hate other Americans in this country? Do you know what I mean? Like, when did we become so anti-Obamacare, anti-SNAP, anti-whatever, right?
When we started politicizing the day-to-day functions of our government and how it affects us as a society.
The reason that I am here today is because I was the recipient of welfare. I will say that flat out. The reason that I am successful today and the reason that I was able to get off of welfare was because I received welfare. I was on disability, general assistance, food stamps, whatever it is. I'm not ashamed to admit it, because I think that more people need to understand that when you are receiving those, and I was getting it in California. I was getting it where they're just handing out food stamps to everybody.
Yeah.
You still got to go in every month. You still have to show them all where you're applying for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know what I mean? At least, but that was, how long ago was that? That was 15 years ago.
I was on the dole less than 5 years ago.
Right. So
it helped us keep our house, kept us out of the foreclosure of avalanche in America.
You invest
in the country.
I think that a lot of people, maybe because they haven't ever had to go into the welfare office and fill out the forms, if you haven't been there, you don't know the emotional weight that it takes to walk in there and literally beg for money. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
And so I see a lot of people who are like, well, that's an insolvent program and it's not blah, 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 and it's all handouts and it's welfare queens or whatever it is. I find that perspective to be so disgusting for a number of reasons, because what you're effectively saying is I hate poor people. I resent poorness
to the
degree that I would, you know, want those things taken away from people.
Because it's their fault they're poor.
Yeah, exactly.
That's half the argument there.
Right.
And this, I said this to you when we were talking about this story before, with bringing it to the air or not. I think this is the new civil rights issue of this era. I mean, this is like redlining to me. And I'll say, civil rights aren't always about race.
Can I clarify really quick?
Sure.
You're talking about the internet program.
I'm talking about the internet program.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if the internet is an essential part of how we live our lives these days, it's not about getting cable. It's not about having a fast phone for your kid in their room. It's about your kid being able to connect to schoolwork. It's about your husband trying to find a job and applying to jobs online these days, because that's how jobs are done, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
If you're going to make internet a necessary part of our daily lives, those who struggle day to day, paycheck to paycheck, can use some help in these arenas. And this thing's about to end this month. This program is in danger of ending this month.
They're playing politics with it. I imagine that it's going to stick around, though. You want to know why?
Why?
Because the internet service providers, the lobbyists, they are going to make a big deal out of this. Because if you lose 1 in 8 customers in Washington, because they can't, that's a lot of money going around.
I hear you. Not because it's the right thing to do, but because lobbyists will have sway and they don't want to lose 1/8 of their business.
Yeah. So it'll stick around. But I'm more concerned with the culture of I got mine, forget everybody else in America. That is a very pervasive thought process that I've noticed that has been creeping up on one side of the aisle. I got mine, forget everybody else. It's really sad. It's, you know what I mean? Because I used to think that way. And then, you know, when I decided that I wasn't going to be ashamed of the fact that I was on welfare for several years of my life, when I decided to talk about it, it was as if, I was viewing it in a different way, right? Because I realized that it was no longer something to be ashamed of, because I needed it at the time, right?
Sure,
and by need, I mean that I was so emotionally unbalanced and unregulated that holding down a job was not something that a 21 or 22-year-old Jack Stein could do. It just wasn't, right?
Yeah.
And I think that what we've done now with society is we have moralized people who are damaged or broken or are trying to get it together. And we say stuff like, well, if you're a drug addict, that's a moral problem. If you're a criminal, that's a moral problem. If you're on food stamps or welfare or whatever it is, that's a moral problem. The people that I like when I talk about this issue are the people who say, I'm fine with food stamps or general assistance, but I want it to be on a time limit. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good conversation to have.
Yeah, I agree.
There was a great story out of California about 18 months ago where the state voted in universal free lunches for all students.
Right, which we've tried in Washington a couple times and not gotten through yet.
Right. So the thing that warmed my heart to no end is I went on the conservative subreddit, which is the most conservative subreddit you can go on.
Okay.
And every single person said, if it's for the kids, I'm fine with it.
There you go.
And so I think that that's a little bit of a puncture into what it means to live in a society where we choose to take care of each other as opposed to look at each other with scorn. Laura over there furiously typing. Have I said something that upsets? Did I trigger the audience out there, Laura?
The text line is constantly triggered.
Triggered.
That's just a state of
Hashtag
reality.
Triggered, right? It was because I admitted that I was on welfare. Is that what it is? Jack was on welfare. He's a welfare queen. It was great living on welfare. It was fantastic. You know what it's like? You got to go to the welfare office every month. Mm-hmm. You got to show them that you're looking for a job, and you have to beg them not to take away your benefits for a whole $200 for the whole month worth of groceries. Oh, man, was I living the high life on welfare. Yeah. You know how much my general assistance was every month? $200 for me to live on in just flat cash general assistance. My disability was $400 a month. Wow, I'm a welfare queen. Somebody stop me from spending all this money. I'm going to Vegas, baby. Gonna spend all this sweet government money because I'm a welfare queen. Yeah, I'm gonna claim a couple dependents that aren't even mine. Ugh. I'm just gonna go through the lobby and say, you're my baby now for the next 20 minutes.
It's funny because people use because there are examples of fraud and welfare, and people use that as one of the reasons to moralize the issue.
Yeah,
because we make the welfare queen the poster child. Campaigns have been run on welfare queens. Was it Reagan? Did the welfare queen campaign?
It's too bad. Speaking of welfare queens, by the way, Joseph Robinette Biden is going promising federal dollars to fix a bridge that we don't actually need with federal dollars rather than waiting for the lawsuit to take place. Which, by the way, did you see what the latest thing about that lawsuit was?
That the insurance, the maritime company owned the ship said we ain't paying for nothing but the boat.
Where they're going to have it. Where they're actually going to litigate it.
Oh, where?
Well, they're arguing about it.
Oh, not in Maryland where the accident happened?
Well, because it's an international boat with an international crew.
Oh, Singapore-based,
And it's from an international shipping company. And so they're basically doing this thing of like, well, who gets jurisprudence over this particular case? And one group of people is saying, here! And then the other group of people is saying, does it have to be here?
Does it? You know, I know it was in an accident, but my car was made in Japan. Right, can we have it over there? Please.
Could we have it like in the water?
I mean, on a boat.
On a boat?
That's nice, yeah.
That'd be a nice little...
Have some guy write a poem as the dawn's there. Early lights come up.
So Joe Biden, he's going to the Francis Scott V. He's there today. We saw a bunch of pictures of him looking tired. Pete Buttigieg in the background. Finally letting a little bit of the old gray come in.
Pete
see is? That?
Yeah.
On Buttigieg?
Yeah.
He's not doing the... So this is where like Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger went wrong. It's okay to have a little bit of the old gray.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? Yep. It's okay to have a little bit of the templing, whatever it is. You got when gray starts coming in, you just got to accept it. But if you're looking like Jagger, he's 80. He's walking around like he's got the hair of a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
We know that's not true, man.
Not true. No, it's
we
not
know
true
that's
at all.
Not true, Paul McCartney.
Every time your shirt opens up, we know it's not true. Come on.
Yeah, we know it's Paul McCartney. We know that you're gray now. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're dying it out, my friend. So they're going to try to rebuild the bridge as fast as humanly possible, which means, government time, say 4 years, 5 years on that bridge?
They're talking 1 year. They're talking about having...
Shut the front door.
They're talking about maybe having this bridge up and running, the full 695 trucking corridor back open. They plan to have the shipping... This is the first time today that they gave a timeline for having the port completely open. They hope it can be completely open by the end of May. To have full use of the port back. They've already opened up a couple channels, shallow channels for bringing in barges and bringing in cranes. They plan to, by the end of this month, have limited port capabilities so that cars and light trucks can keep coming back, can start coming back in the port
of
Baltimore.
You know what he should do? I mean this in all sincerity.
Slow down?
No. No.
Because I get excited in my hometown, man.
I'm talking about Biden, what he should do.
What he should do?
He should, when they build the bridge... He should get those gigantic stickers that say I did that.
Oh.
And he should make it 30 feet tall and 30 feet wide and put it right on the outside.
Pointing at it.
I did that,
right? That'd be a nice way to wrap that up.
The Freedom Caucus is already saying, why is Joe Biden promising the government will pay for everything? Shouldn't the people who knocked the bridge down pay for it? A valid argument. State of Maryland says, we're not going to wait while you guys litigate this in court. We're going to build the bridge first. The government's going to go after the money. Trust us.
Yeah, I wonder, okay, so let's play a game where, like, is government bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's play a fun game where we no longer have government involved with important things.
Okay.
Like, let's just say, hypothetically, a bridge collapses.
Okay.
A boat from an offshore company runs into that bridge. Government's not getting involved. Not at the state level, because government bad, remember?
Right, government bad,
yep, government wasteful. Yep. How do we fix the bridge? It's a fun kind of mental exercise. I'm not... It's not even as like a rhetorical game. I'm just saying, how do you fix a bridge because government bad? And we're not using government anymore. How do we get it done?
Yeah, I guess you have the state government. That's not going to work. You have those people who own the businesses in the port go after the shipping company in Singapore.
Well, we got to build the bridge, though.
Well, that's where you got to start with money. You got no money until somebody steps up and buys some U.S. steel.
But,
by the way, Biden said U.S. steel and union labor today in his speech. Smart campaign in there, Joe.
But what I'm saying is that you can't go to the court system because the court system is part of the government. It's the third branch of the government. So you can't do that. Government bad, Spike.
So we have to arm the population.
I got it.
With pitchforks and torches.
Question is how do you get it done without any kind of government? And this is what I always go back to when people are constantly say government is incompetent, they don't know what they're doing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Do we go to Elon Musk hat in hand and say, please, Mr. Musk, won't you please build our bridge back for us? So I have a little speech impediment so he really buys into it.
Yeah, the pathetic child.
Right, exactly. I mean,
they're so cute. How do you say no? Elon says no. Sorry.
Speaking of government bad, by the way, a lot of people have accused Joe Biden of being on drugs. Now, I happen to be one of those people because I'm almost positive that fool's on drugs. I would bet good money that if we did a Joe Biden in a cup thing, that's gonna be radioactive, right? That's gonna be the kind of stuff they put in horses so that they run faster at the Kentucky Derby. You know what I mean?
Isn't Joe allowed to be on legal substances to get him up in the morning? It can't just be oatmeal. Getting the guy up to run the world.
Talking about caffeine and
B12? I'm talking about B12. I'm not sure what the older folks take. I'm not quite there yet. But, you know, what kind of natural things does Joe want to get a little pep in his step?
Ovaltine.
Rich chocolate Ovaltine. He's got the Dakota ring that Ralphie got.
Just nice, healthy glass of Ovaltine every morning gets him right out of bed. I'm almost positive that if I had to guess, he's probably on a low dose of an amphetamine, probably Adderall, probably 2.5 mg.
Okay, and that's fine. A lot of people in this culture are, right?
Oh, yeah. So my my former therapist, actually, because I always said to him, I always said, Neil, you've got such great mental clarity. This is so fascinating. He's like 76 or something.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's in his 50s.
Wow,
and he
nice.
Said, he goes, actually, you know, I was diagnosed with ADD, and I've taken 2.5 mg of Adderall. Every morning, just so I can have that little bump in the morning.
Sure, yeah.
And I thought to myself, are you not going to die from that? Is that going to kill that amount of stimulants? But I, you know, what I found out reading the literature is a lot of older people do get on a very low dose of psycho or CNS, central nervous system stimulants. Mm-hmm. And for just to have a little pep in their step, Trump is saying that Biden is on cocaine. I don't think that Joseph Robinette Biden is on cocaine. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, the former president was on, what's the guy's name? Hugh Hewitt is the conservative commentator.
Why do all conservative commentators have double names?
I don't know.
Lars Larson,
yeah.
Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, double names.
Yeah. So, first off, President Trump, I don't know if you have the clip or we're allowed to play. Oh, you do? Oh, this is great.
Let's hear what Hugh has to say.
You know, that white stuff that they happen to find, which happened to be cocaine in the White House, I don't know. I think something's going on there, because I watched his State of the Union, and he was all jacked up at the beginning. By the end, he was fading fast. There's something going on there. I want a debate, and I think debates, with him at least, should be drug tested. I want a drug test.
Mr. President, are you suggesting President Biden's using cocaine?
I don't know what he's using, but that was not, hey, he was higher than a kite.
Are you suggesting, sir, that the president is on cocaine?
You can hear the dollar signs in his voice. This is gold!
This is radio gold for Hugh Hewitt. I've entered a naughty caprice, have I not? Totally. Are you suggesting, sir, that the president of the United States is on cocaine? Who could have possibly imagined? Oh, this shall be such a naughty facade that we paint for ourselves. What a weird way to ask that question from Hugh Hewitt, right? Is that not a little cringe?
It is, but he let me be clear, sir, for the soundbite.
Yeah.
So that this can be played on 800 radio stations coast to coast.
Let me just make sure. This was on the Hugh Hewitt show. I'm syndicated on 200 AM stations. AM. It's another kind of radio. It's not FM. It's AM. Hugh Hewitt. It's very important.
Are you telling me Hugh Hewitt?
Are you telling me Hugh Hewitt? Yes, indeed. I shall be on Fox News late. Me, Hugh Hewitt, the fine purveyor of the Hugh Hewitt Show, which can be heard on 680 AM in Tulsa, Oklahoma, between the hours of 3 AM and 6 AM. They can my show and replay it every morning, right?
So here's what I love about these kind of stories. Obviously, Biden was energetic, shall we say, possibly assisted at the State of the Union. He came in full of juice, right?
Yeah.
And as per our earlier conversation, he's probably got a nice host of White House doctors.
Yeah.
We know there's a pharmacy in the White House. We know that these days, as per all the garbage that came out during the Trump years, where Ronnie Jackson was the, you know, America's blindest pharmaceutical specialist as the White House doctor. Trump knows exactly what it feels like to be up in the beginning of your speech and kind of fade out at the end. That's a lot of knowing there.
I read a book about Hitler's personal doctor. It's a fascinating, fascinating book where he talks about, or rather the author goes into what little remains there are of Hitler's private medical records.
Okay.
That guy was gassed to the gills on
oxycodone,
morphine.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He was on Pervitin, which is another form of amphetamine, basically. The doctor had him on, he would give him his vitamin shots like 3 or 4 times a day, which was really just meth in a tube.
Wow.
And so the theory is that one of the things that contributed to Hitler's mental decline was the fact that he was on just an onslaught of drugs, all basically trying to counteract each other. So they first gave him a little bit of amphetamine to pump him up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you get a little bit too pumped up and they would bring him down a little bit with a little oxycodone, maybe a little barbiturates to go to sleep. This is why for the latter half of his life, he actually slept until 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Really?
Yeah. He also bathed multiple times a day. He was a crazy hypochondriac.
Wash the bugs off? Skin crawl moment there?
I would imagine. Well, you know, I'll say this. When you do a little bit of the old horse, a nice warm bath really takes the edge off.
Feels good.
Feels real good when you got to go bathe.
The German army as well was hopped up on amphetamines all the time.
Yeah, Pervitin.
Yeah.
That's
Americans had chocolate bars and smokes to go on. The Germans were just amped.
Yeah, which is... Do I think that Biden's on drugs? Yes. Do I think that he needs to be tested for it? No. That's
I would think
weird.
Roland Ager, you know, being the guy who's pushing him out.
Come on.
All evidence to the contrary, Mr. Trump.
Ah, yes. Thank you. There's your counterpoint right there. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. The newest generation of influencers are here, and they're 10-year-olds. 10-year-olds on the internet.
I'm sorry, what?
10-year-olds, they're making Instagram videos and whatnot, not in Florida anymore, thanks to Governor Ron DeSantis. One of the best, I say this unironically, that law preventing people under the age of 14 from
having social,
such a great law. That's my president for that particular policy and nothing else. We'll talk about all that more when we get back right after this.
The Mariners are all about giving you more baseball for your buck. With Mariners Value Games, you can snag seats for as little as $10 to select games all season long. To get your tickets and check out the complete Mariners Value Game schedule, go to mariners.com/valuegames.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cringe.
Can you imagine how much bigger my brain would be if I wasn't horribly abused as a child?
Or based.
And I thought the shackles on the wall were a nice aesthetic touch.
Cringe or base. Fun segment we like to do every day, 134, trying to determine if a cultural event is cringe, meaning ugh, or base, meaning ah. There's a piece that was written last month talking about how the next generation of influencers are here and they're less than 10 years old. Did you guys know that the more tired I get, the more my speech impediment comes out? Did you guys know that about me?
I hadn't.
It's a true story. Yeah. The more exhausted I am, the more my speech impediment comes out. Andrew, did you know this about me?
I did not know that about you.
I start slurring my speech. A little bit of stutter comes back. Mm. It's very, very... The more exhausted I get, the more you see the trauma that I endured as a child. Isn't that hilarious?
I'm laughing on the inside because I'm crying on the outside. Poor thing. I feel bad for you, man.
You're doing great, buddy. Hang in there.
Hard for you to believe.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Someone pointed out to me that I say my A's weird.
Your A's.
Because I say like traffic as opposed to, because I was taught how to speak English by a woman with a heavy British accent.
Mm.
So all of my A's tend to be very puffy unless I drag them. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
So my impulse is to say traffic.
Traffic.
That's what I have to do in order to prevent that, because I can't register what is a normal A sound after you go traffic.
Traffic. Well, you're made for Balmer. Guys, want some water? Get in. There's a lot of traffic down the Key Bridge anymore these days, hon.
Speaking of speech impediments, 10-year-olds are now going to be the next generation of influencers. And they did this whole piece about all these kids who have millions of followers, and they're little children who are now building their identity around being internet famous. Now, I can think of, how many different names of people that this went great for. People like, Michael Jackson, Corey Feldman. the list goes on,
Amanda
right?
Amanda Bynes,
Lindsay Lohan.
Dan Plato,
Danny Bonaducci. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about all the people that were successful as children and grew up to have totally normal, healthy lives. Britney Spears, We're talking about people who are in no way, shape, or form mentally ill whatsoever. Like all those Nickelodeon kids that came out with that documentary talking about all the fun that they had when they were... Oh, wait, that documentary is actually horrific. What am I talking about? Parents who let their kids do this are literally engaging in child abuse. Literally. I mean, you cannot expose a developing mind to that amount of attention that fast. This is why... You know why? Did you ever hear about the weird stat about child savants that no one ever talks about?
Which stat?
Some of the highest rates of suicide are people who were savants when they were children.
Really?
Read into this, dude. It is crazy because they don't develop... behaviorally normally with their peers.
Oh, okay.
Because everyone around them is like, oh, well, you're 2 years old. You're already through eighth grade curriculum. Like, let's keep you moving down the chain. And they grew up to be very unhinged adults.
Social and emotional development isn't parodied with intellectual development and their crash courses.
Look at Ted Kaczynski, right? I mean, he was a boy genius and look at what happened to him, right? I mean, this is a bizarre thing that we do to children where when they show a proclivity towards a certain ability or a feat or whatever it is, we just dump praise on them, not recognizing the fallout that will happen from that. Look at someone like Shia LaBeouf, the now adult actor. He was a childhood star. Look at his life. I mean, it's riddled with court appearances, drug addiction.
He's on the weirdo end.
Robert Downey Jr. is another great example of this.
But he went and circled the planet and came back, though.
Right, that's exactly.
That might be the glowing example of somebody who survived.
You saw how fast he was to go into prison for 10, 15 years back in, what was that, 2002, 2001?
I believe it was about 20 years ago.
Now what we have is parents who don't understand that children are meant to be protected. The influencers that I like the most who have kids... they don't show their faces because they want their kids to have normal childhoods. That's why when I see these families on YouTube who are like, we are the ace family. Here's my six kids and all their faces. To me, that is a weird, perverse way of engaging with your children. And I don't like it. And I think it's giga cringe.
So the family in this story have a pair of 7-year-old twins that have millions of followers on TikTok.
Yeah.
Doing makeup tips. On 7-year-olds.
A little gross.
Is that good? It's not just me. It's creepy watching a 7-year-old put on makeup tips.
It's pretty creepy.
And the
mom
says, oh, they love when people recognize them out in public and ask them for their autographs. What are you building here, family? What kind of kid are you raising? But if you're a parent, how can you not say, look at all the money they're making. This college is paid for. All our worries are over. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean,
I can't find the upside to this.
I think the money is a dangerous thing to have brought into the equation. Because I think that starts to corrupt people's idea of, am I raising a healthy child, a well-adjusted child? Is this something that they actually enjoy doing still? Even if they enjoyed it at the beginning, do they still like it when they're making, I don't know, $100,000 a year and it's dramatically changed their family's life and the house that they live in and the cars that their parents drive?
Well, look at what happened. What's that young woman, Jeanette McCurdy? Is that her name? She was on...
Yeah. She had a memoir called I'm Glad My Mom Died.
Right. And if you read that book or you talk about or you listen to her talk about her relationship with her mom, basically it was destroyed over money. You know what I mean?
Like she was a child star. One of the Nickelodeon
shows. She was a child star.
Right?
Her mom was very, very poor, and then all of a sudden she finds herself in this circumstance where she's basically the breadwinner for the entirety of the household. Right. And
at age like 12.
Yeah, and it destroyed her relationship with her mom. So whenever I think about, how many child stars have actually grown up to be healthy, well-rounded adults? It's like Ethan Hawke. And basically nobody else. Right?
I'd say Jason Bateman might
Jason
be.
Bateman,
but you can probably count him on one hand.
So Jason Bateman had to go to rehab.
I didn't know that.
Do you know,
and
so,
his sister had a horrible road.
Right, exactly. So if you look at any of these stars who were child actors who grew up to that, I think maybe the Dylan brothers might be an example of a couple of guys who didn't got through
those
fame.
Those are the twins, right?
Kevin and the other one.
Yeah.
They ended up being pretty much fine. But most childhood stars end up doing really poorly because they don't know how to deal with it. Moreover, they don't know how to deal with DiCaprio might be another example of that.
Of somebody who got through it unscathed.
But
or
then
at least
you look
healthy.
At other people, like look at Kirk.
As he dates 21-year-olds till he's 60.
Yeah, kind of a frozen adolescence.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened like Kirk Cameron, right?
Yeah.
He completely walked away from it for like 20 years because he was like, this place is the devil. Look at what happened to the kid who was on 2.5 Men. That kid is worth $50 million. And he ended up
Angus,
whatever, name is, the weird creepy kid. He ended up going, finding Jesus and completely leaving show business behind.
No, Cameron did too, found religion, which is fine.
Right.
If that's what saves you from this, whatever, the nightmares of hell.
I'm just saying, like, we do this thing with children where we're like, yeah, dance for us, monkey. And then they end up, having a horrible life that they don't really want. Like, do these parents ever consider that maybe these kids, as they get older, might want to actually be private citizens? Because you can, you can be not famous, but you can never not be infamous. And unfortunately, this happens to a lot of famous people. That's a Dave Chappelle quote, by the way. I didn't come up with that. That's 100% Dave Chappelle.
Good for you.
So
that's good act.
But that's, think about it, man. Like, you watch these kids crash and burn, and they will be infamous for that forever. That's unfair.
Is the onus just on the parents not to do this, or should there be something about the social media structure that says you can't put a Gen Alpha as an influencer with millions of followers?
What do you think? That's interesting. Is it parents or should it be government?
I think it should be government.
Wow.
Because we do have protections for child actors that are built into legislation. And I think the reality is that kids on reality TV and online should have those same protections because they're doing the same job.
No Stupid Questions is a segment we like to do every day. It's my favorite segment because I'm always nice. I am never mean and I never lose my temper. And I most certainly, when the segment is done, I don't continue to yell at everybody in the studio.
You've never stormed out of here.
I've never stormed out of here.
We should have less sign in the studio. It's been 0 days since a major incident.
It would just be zero. It would just be zero all of the time.
Someone yesterday suggested a rage-o-meter.
Oh, I love it.
We could get a rage-o-meter. We could get a rage-o-meter for sure. We'll talk about that and more when we get back right after this.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are no stupid questions.
There are only stupid answers.
I hit the wrong one. It's supposed to be an applause, not the shock button. That's how tired I am, Spike. Mike in the 360 for no stupid questions. Now, Laura, for some reason, always brings me Mike's questions because Mike asks interesting questions, but they're also like wrong all the time. And sometimes I'm not sure if they're satire or not, or if like Mike doesn't read anything. Like, it's kind of weird, Laura. Why do you always give me Mike texts? Because they're always wrong and they're always embarrassing.
I like Mike. He has a very cute dog that he sends me pictures of. Okay. So I'm being bribed.
Right. Okay.
But I also love your responses to his texts.
Okay. Well, all right. So Mike says, I have a stupid question, which is a bit of an understatement. He says, if Twitter is such a horrible hellscape, why don't all the liberals that complain about it on a daily basis start their own free speech online platform? Do you not have enough money between all of you to do that? Question mark. Then you can kick off everybody with a MAGA hat or an R in front of their name, and it would be a liberal utopia. So what a great idea, Mike. And then he says, you're welcome. So they already did that, Mike. They already did that.
Yeah.
And I forgive you for not reading anything, but it's called Threads or Blue Sky. Mm-hmm. There's a number of different social media apps out there. Now, Threads is Facebook.
Yeah, it's Meta, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Blue Sky is Jack Dorsey's new company. And so, like, they already did that. So, what else do you say? Like, I get that the intention was to be kind of like pointed and snarky, but it's just kind of embarrassing. Do you know what I mean? That someone is not that. You know what I mean? Laura's looking at me like I'm saying something wrong. But like, if you say something stupid with such confidence, it hurts me. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you say something that stupid with that amount of confidence, I hurt for you.
Was that the less you know sounder we played
there?
Yeah,
so I played it myself. You're not hurting yourself, Mike, by being this stupid. You're hurting me. And that's a different kind of hurt, right? Because I want everybody to get, listen, here's the thing, all right? It takes a strong man to admit when he's wrong. I was wrong yesterday. I threw out a stat, and then someone said, I don't think that that's true. And then I Googled it, and I pulled it up, and I saw the piece of propaganda that I fell for. And I said, hey, you know what? I'm totally wrong about this. Here's the other data. And then I went home, and I drank myself into a blackout so I could forget all about it. Now,
like you do. Yeah.
If I had a very fragile ego, I would reframe that in some way, shape, or form to be snarky, or I would ignore it, or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happens all too often with people is they have great confidence in their own ignorance. This is an American malady, and it needs to stop, because when you don't know anything and then you want to talk about something, you're hurting the people around you, right? As I did yesterday, now Mike does today. Yeah. Yes? Yes?
Yeah, especially when you consider yourself a thought leader. And you march your lemmings off a cliff with misinformation.
All right. Kevin and Renton, do you guys think that Elon's goal was to destroy Twitter as a reliable news source? No, I think that he made a joke that he was going to buy it. And then he went through all like the legal framework to do it, because the number that he pitched was a joke number, 42069. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty bad way to say I'm interested in buying this company. And then he basically got strong-armed into buying it. He didn't want to buy it. He tried several times to not buy it. So I think that he now is with a social media platform that's too complicated for him to run. And so he's doesn't really understand how to make money off of it the way that they understood how to make money.
When you
off
say
of
he got strong-armed into buying it, was that because the stock price got affected so much by his offers and public efforts to buy it?
No, he signed it. He signed a legally binding document where he was either going to have to fork over $1 billion if he ended up not buying it, or they were going to sue him for some, I think it was like 6.8 or something like that. Is a crazy, crazy amount
of
money.
That sounds like he could have saved $30 billion.
Yeah, I probably should have rethought that one.
Have you guys ever crowd surfed or been in a mosh pit? If so, what concert? When I was a kid, yeah. Spike can't crowd surf anymore. It's more like crowd
crush.
Yeah, right?
It's not good for the people around
me. It's crowd. You're going to the hospital, to the ICU for a couple of weeks.
I'm in a couple of videos of famous Seattle bands filmed in Seattle venues over the years.
What videos are you in?
I'm in the Evenflo video.
What?
From Soundgarden.
Really?
Or from Pearl Jam, excuse me. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Where are you in that video?
I'm not surfing. I'm holding people up, and I'm not moshing, because moshing wasn't really my thing. I was accidentally engulfed in mosh pits on a couple of occasions. Mm-hmm. Once I took my younger sister, who was visiting from the East Coast, to see Lollapalooza. I think it was 92 or 3 over at the Kitsap Peninsula. It was Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Great, great, great show at a fairgrounds. And we were standing at a safe distance from the stage, and the song started, and we were in the middle of a very dangerous mosh pit. And I had my teenage little sister wrapped in my arms as I literally forcefully backed out of the danger zone of a mosh pit.
Guys, is the Muckleshoot Casino as good as Spike? Parentheses James, and parentheses O'Neill says that it is.
It's an insider. I think that it is. I think the food's phenomenal. The entertainment's top shelf when other bands than ours are playing there.
I mean, as someone who's been to a lot of casino, because I don't gamble, but I do love the food, Muckleshoot has got to be my top five, right?
They have such a large non-smoking section at the Muckleshoot, which as a non-smoker is an absolute gift.
Thank you so much.
And the food?
And the food?
There you go.
Oh, it's amazing. All right. We're probably going to do a live gig there at some point in time. As soon as we work out all the details on that. Speaking of live gigs, by the way, Frank Shires, Boomer extraordinaire, is going to be coming in to talk about the Seattle mayor's $1.35 billion transportation property tax levy, or as I like to call it, socialist levy. Get excited, travelers. The light rail expansion to Linwood opens in August after how much money in time?
At least over a year and a half later than anticipated.
And like a couple hundred mil over.
A couple hundred millies over. Yeah, you bet.
Talk about all that and more when we get back right after this.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.